Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
Well, here I am, a free man for 3 weeks. 3 weeks in which I have to prove I'm not a furtive, embezzling blackguard, or else go to prison for at least 3 years. I didn't expect to be out. Marcia didn't come near me after I was arrested. And it's Stella Bronson I have to thank, bless her, for being out of that disgusting cell at all. 3 weeks. Well, I better not sit here in the car in front of our block of flats. Not with Marcia upstairs and her uncle just getting out of his car across the road. What do you do in a situation like this? Do you cut your wife's uncle dead? Or do you pretend he hasn't had you flung into jail and make polite remarks about the weather? Well, I'm not waiting to find out.
Jeff! Jeff Pilgrim!
You can go to the devil, Mr. Bendigo.
Pilgrim! What are you doing here?
It's apparently escaped your notice, sir, but I'm about to drive away. Kindly move aside.
Answer me. How'd you come to be out of the lockup?
I don't see that it's any of your business.
I'll not let go of your door handle till I'm answered.
I'm obviously out on bail.
Who furnished it?
That you may find out from Marcia.
Where is she?
Upstairs.
Who furnished your bail?
Mr. Bendigo, you may be twice my age and a few years older. But if you don't get out of my way...
Very well, get on your way. But you keep away from Marcia. And you keep away from my building. If you set foot inside the Bendigo building, Pilgrim,
you couldn't get me inside your building with a bulldozer. As for my wife, I'll see her when and where I please.
Get out of that car. I am twice your age, you swindling thief. But for George, I'm going to take a swing at you if it's the last thing I do.
Oh, Uncle, here in the street, I could hear you upstairs. Jeff, haven't you done enough? Haven't you any more decency than to shout at an old man in the street?
Don't look at me, Marcia.
Come inside, Uncle, I insist. Come along now. This is awful.
Sorry to make a scene. Sorry, the sight of this rotter made me lose my temper. Go on, Pilgrim. Get away from here. Leave us all alone.
It'll be a pleasure.
I'm ashamed of myself, Marcia. I haven't made a disturbance like that since I was in my teens.
Never mind. Come and help me pack some things. I want to move back with you and Aunt Harriet tonight. I couldn't bear the sight of our flat. I think I'd go crazy.
Good girl. Very sensible. What are they bound to have to say to you upstairs?
Uncle, I'm frightened. The way Jeff looked when Harry Palmer was mentioned. So he wanted to choke the life out of him.
As bad as that?
Worse.
That's funny. Why does your Pilgrim have such a grudge against Palmer unless... Maybe it's because Palmer wouldn't lie for him the other day. Come on. Let's get on to your phone at once. That chap had better be warned.
Half past eight. This should be Jeff. I wonder why he didn't phone first.
Hello, Stella. Can I come in?
You're already in, aren't you? What's the matter?
Shut the door. I want a word with you.
Okay, chum. You don't have to get tough about it. Now then, what's on your mind? Then sit down.
What's the game, Stella?
Over my head.
Last night you gave me a line about being finished with Pilgrim because you didn't like crooks. Today you rake up 4,000 quid to bail him out of the cells. I want to know what's going on.
Aren't you a little too upset to hear that Jeff's running around loose? Why should you care?
I don't care a tinker's benediction where Pilgrim is. I just want to know how you come to be going guarantor for him.
Who told you he was out, anyway?
Marcia.
Oh.
Well, come on. Whose side do you want? And if you're still playing for Pilgrim's team, why the impassioned act last night?
Well, now look here, Harry. If I tell you, you have to keep it quiet. If it gets out, I might find myself without a job.
You mean it's something to do with Benny Puller?
Promise to keep it to yourself?
Of course.
Cross your heart?
Yes, yes, do get on with it.
Well, Benny wants to pin Jeff's ears back properly over this business. Oh, who's this? Excuse me, Harry. Hello?
It's Jeff here, Stella. Can I pick you up in a few minutes?
Oh, hello, Joe, darling. How are you?
Joe? Listen, that's you, isn't it, Stella?
Why, of course, darling. I was frantic the other day when...
Come unhinged or something, Stella?
Oh, I'm frightfully sorry, Joe, but not tonight. Why did you have to ring at such an impossible time?
Stella, either come to your senses or hang up. What's the matter with you?
Yes, I have, actually. Who? Well, I don't think you know him. Harry Palmer. Rather sweet.
No. I'm catching on. Sorry to be so dense, Stella. I'll ring you in, say, an hour.
No, don't do that, Joe. I'll ring you. Where will you be?
I'm at the Hotel Pier, Metropole 2636.
Oh, your address may get till 12:30. Cheerio. I'm awfully sorry. Bye. That was Josephine Craven. She wanted to come round and mix gin fizzers or something.
It sounded more like a man's voice to me.
Oh, Joe Craven's noted for her voice, just like Tallulah Bankhead. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, well, Benny Puller's been in a terrific huddle with his lawyers, and they say that the way things stand at the moment, Jeff might just scrape through.
What? Get an acquittal?
Yes. So, Benny decided to give him a little rope. He arranged it for me to get Jeff out. It looked good, because I'm supposed to be still keen on him. And then he's going to have him watched night and day till his trial comes up.
Ah. Now I'm beginning to see the light.
Jeff can't possibly get away to skip his bail. And there's just a chance he might make a move that'll give him a bit more evidence.
Yes, I see it all. Well, I'm sorry I bounced in, rather. For a moment, I thought...
I know what you thought. You were a silly fool. Come here and I'll show you just how much of a silly fool.
Now you're talking.
Satisfied?
How the dickens did Pilgrim resist you all that time?
Jeff was one of my very few failures. That's why I got bored with him. Will you do something for me?
What?
Go home. I have a rotten head. I'm sorry to sound corny, but I actually have got a rotten head. There are plenty more nights, sweetheart. And don't look so worried.
Does it show?
And how? There isn't any reason why you should be worried about Jeff being free for 3 weeks, is there?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Of course not. Why should I?
Oh, nothing. You've obviously something on your mind, that's all. Off you go now. Bye-bye.
If anyone puts another coin in that jukebox, Stella, I'll pull its cord out of the wall.
We could have talked at my flat.
Jukebox record and all, I still prefer this coffee shop. You're positive Palmer's not suspicious?
Oh, I pitched him a beautiful fable, and he downed it whole. You were Josephine Craven, and you were voiced like Tallulah Bankhead.
Stella, I'm beginning to feel something of an outsider. Just after you left this afternoon...
Now, don't talk like an ape.
I was not necessarily terse with Marcia. As for poor old Bendigo...
Now, listen, don't be soft. Marcia's your wife. Yet she hasn't enough trust in you or plain ordinary decency to bail you out of prison. And as for that other old ogre...
But to them, I'm a thief. You can't blame them. On the face of it, they can't entertain one solitary doubt.
They've both known you for years. Marcia's supposed to have loved you. Bendigo's supposed to have liked and trusted you. They should have had some faith in you. And yet at the drop of a hat, they both turned like wolves.
Now you're getting emotional.
Well, you can say that again.
Anyone's trust would have been broken down if they are presented with facts like the ones we're up against.
Mine wouldn't, Jeff. Mine wouldn't. I love you, you fool. I love you. You could lie and swindle and cheat and steal, but I couldn't stop loving you. And if you betrayed me 50 times and then promised me something, I'd trust you again.
Oh, Stella, shut up, will you?
Sorry.
When we're out of this mess, it'll be time enough to try to repay you.
If you ever caress me out of gratitude, Jeff Pilgrim, I'll kill you.
Oh, Stella, can we please get on with something that love, love, love and caresses world without end?
I can't think of anything but getting my hands on H. Jefferson Palmer, where we won't be interrupted, where I can pound the wretch.
Yes, not so loud.
My turn, eh?
Yes, your turn. I know how we can do it, Jeff, so that if you can make him tell the truth, I'll be there to witness it.
How? And how soon?
Well, before we start the plotting, for the good of the cause, I kissed Palmer tonight, as though I meant it.
Oh? Am I supposed to say something?
Well, couldn't you even pretend to be jealous? Oh, never mind, I should know better. You want to beat Harry Palmer to a jelly and you want me to help. All right, Jeff. Now, you have your car, haven't you? I'll ask Palmer to take me for a drive, well out of town. And when we get to a decent spot, I'll get him to park. It's really very simple.
She's right. It is very simple. When I get Palmer to himself, I'll fetch him a couple to make up for Stella's kisses. Hang it up. I'm getting jealous. I don't like the idea of people kissing Stella Bronson. Palmer, of all people. Well, we'll settle that any time now.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.